The same sort of thing.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, why did they make it better? Because what, more cheese, you mean?
It's so cheesy and so greasy.
Okay.
And that's probably where I
came. So now can I tell my story?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not the same story. Well, it kind of is.
Okay.
It relates in two ways. So the Bunsmaster story again.
Yeah.
What's the title of this thing? No title again?
And I did lonely be a little married.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Yeah. Welcome. Dixon Jane's podcast number 403. Take 3 or 4. I used to be able to, it seemed. Find a spot, sit down, turn on the mic, start talking. And it doesn't come as easily anymore. It could be psychological, could be just this mental thing I've got lately that I'm getting old. But probably it's real. I banned in the first couple. First was just nonsense, rambling. Second one, I was just way too angry. About you can guess what. Read the newspaper. And I just didn't feel right sharing that with you. I may bring up the topic again, but I don't know. I'm feeling a little... goddamn fucking little flies. A little bugged today. Something not quite right, and I don't know what it is. I don't know why. I think I am a little concerned about my health, or what's the future. I had a wonderful, wonderful visit with my my cousin from British Columbia and his wife this week, and we had a supper party last night. Went through a lot of good wines, and was really very, very decent. I met. His nephew, her nephew, and these were interesting people. One who's written a book already and is writing his second book on hangovers. So anytime you meet an author, creative writing teacher, it's always interesting. That added to the dinner table discussion. I shared my story downstream from a dead dog, which he said he's going to put in his book. We'll see. And then today, dropped them back downtown. I guess yesterday we went for a walk, and I told you I can't walk anymore. I mean, 15 minutes and okay, I gotta sit down. My back's killing me. And it's only going to get worse. And man, oh man, like this is debilitating. I can't stand teaching anymore. I mean, I can stand teaching, but I can't stand and teach. I have to just sit on a desk. I have to rest my back, rest my leg. And I went for a walk, interrupted every 15 minutes for a sit-down, with my cousin's wife, wonderful woman. And she said, gee, well, she had back problems, but she got a hip replacement and, oh, chiropractor and physiotherapist and everything else. And, wow, lost 20 pounds on the paleo diet. And is in really good shape and walks an hour every single day. And holy shit, I got to go that direction. I guess that's what depresses me. Knowing I have to make a change in my life and not knowing whether I can make a change. That's when I get depressed. And it just seems so overwhelming. I don't need a hip replacement, but my back is a problem. And god damn, I don't want to end up in a fucking motorized wheelchair. So... the starting point, what I should be doing is dropping 20 pounds. And he insists this all-meat diet, you know, and I have to give up bread. The bread that I just love, it gives me so much joy. This whole wheat, multi-grain, fresh bread. I just, oh, it's so nice. And he said, no, give up that. Shit, fucking. Give up that and give up beer, or at least cut down. And holy fuck, man. So I don't know. I should look into it. That should be a first step. And then I'm getting a new doctor in July. So anyway, I don't want to share health shit. That's on podcasts get really boring when people get old and start talking about health. I am sorry. But it's just, I'm trying to account for this sort of little blip of first world depression I'm experiencing today. Why am I just feeling a little bit down? It was an absolute great party last night, and, you know, you should be feeling up and happy about it. Although I did have a bit of a run-in with my wife. She drove them, well, she stayed sober, and she drove them back to their hotel. And I thought, good. There was, like, the kitchen was full. My cousin cooked the meal. Lamb ribs, I guess. What do you call those things, you know? A rack of lamb. Holy fuck, was it ever good. My wife made all kinds of interesting salads. It was a feast. And then tons of wine, good wines, better than I normally drink. And so I thought, God, what I'll do while she's out, I'll just put all these things in the dishwasher, which we haven't used for 2 years, and surprise her. Well, she came home, and suds are coming out of the dishwasher. And so, what soap did you use? Well, just this liquid stuff. It's all I could find. Well, no, you don't put, like, hand dishwashing soap in a dishwasher. And so it just kind of created a little bit of an argument, and she wanted to take over, and she was opening it and closing it, and I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, I just tried to do something nice. And she said, look, give it to me, I'll take over, they're greasy. And I'm thinking, well, so what, you know, I can wash the grease off. Well, she is better at it than I am, and so I grumbled and argued because I'm feeling sorry for myself, you know, and probably I'm a little bit drunk too. And I'm thinking, come on, I'm trying to do something nice and you're arguing again, damn it. You're being bossy, and I don't like being bossed by anybody. And the thing is, she took over, and she's a whiz. She's a shoom, shoom, shoom. And things are clean, pots are flying across the room, and just, she's amazing. And she does do everything better than me. Well, she doesn't podcast. Her English is still somewhat shaky. So, not everything, but you know what I mean. And I think it always makes me feel a little bit frustrated. I guess the other thing that I want to talk about, I'd really like to think, as you know, that I got my shit together. That's why I'm talking to you, because I know it all. I've been around. I got a world full of experience, and I got age and wisdom, and man, you know, let me tell you about life. And I'm sort of coming to the realization that holy fuck, I could benefit from counseling myself. I've got an awful lot of suppressed, repressed feelings and emotions and things that are inside that I would benefit from. And it's weird to own up to that because I'm that's not the image I want to portray of myself. I want to think that, hey, I got my shit together, man. I did it, and I did it my way and all by myself. You can learn from me. Well, I think I could learn from a few of you. And I think I could be, as much as I say I want this podcast to be about honesty and integrity and authenticity, I think I could do better in all those departments than I am doing now. So it almost feels better sharing that with you. So I don't know, I guess as these courses progress in counseling, I will learn more. Because I keep going back into this book and finding stuff, holy shit, yeah. Ooh, that makes sense. I'm loving it. In fact, it's on my lap here. I'm sitting at Cherry Beach. Did I tell you that already? Maybe I just told you folks on Foursquare and Twitter. The hotel was right downtown, the Harbor Castle. So I've had a great, I'll go down to Cherry Beach. Well, I took a very roundabout route via TNT Supermarket to get something to eat. And finally found a spot here in my deck chair on the beach, Cherry Beach, with a very nice view. I guess, I don't know if that's a spit of land or if that's Toronto Island across from me. Can't really tell. Tons of sailboats, surfboards, ducks and everything else, and that lovely little photogenic beach hut, which I'll wander over to later and take a couple of pictures of. So, probably first time podcasting you from my red deck chair on the beach, Cherry Beach, downtown Toronto. So, boys and girls, I guess that's for now all I want to share. I do want to get into the story of that religion I feel compelled to talk about, but perhaps not right now. Let me read a little bit from my textbook, okay? So, Dix and Jeans, back to you in a moment. Hope you enjoyed the past few podcasts. I feel I'm getting better. And did you have a question?
No.
All right. Okay, so talk to you in a bit, eh? Bye for now.
Mr. Dude, you were saying that you were feeling a little down today. Would you like to elaborate on that?
Well, I don't know if it's really down. It's nothing serious.
Well, it must have been serious enough for you to call and schedule an appointment with me.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to understand why I was feeling the way I was feeling. Like, I don't know, just kind of down.
Well, when you say down, could you describe that feeling?
You know, depressed, shitty, not happy. Frustrated, maybe? I don't know.
Okay. And what do you have any idea what caused this or what brought this on? I'm assuming you were feeling okay before that.
Yeah, no, but you know, most of the time I'm fine, I'm happy, but just, it was today when I woke up, I just, you know, I knew something was bugging me, something, I shouldn't have been feeling that way. I had a good visit with my cousin last night, and we had a great time, it was fun, and so I should have been happy.
But you weren't feeling happy, and you'd like to know why, maybe.
Yeah, like, something must be wrong. I mean, I know we have ups and downs all the time, you know, we get mood shifts and mood swings, but I think something triggered it, and I'd like to try and figure out what.
Well, tell me a little more about your visit, you know, the what you enjoyed, maybe what you didn't enjoy so much.
Well, I enjoyed it. We drank a lot of wine. We talked a lot. We told stories. We laughed. It was perfect. That wasn't the problem. But it's just today. I don't know. I think maybe I was comparing myself to him. I think I was looking at his life and looking at mine and thinking he's just been so much more successful.
Now, I can remember times in the past when you suggested that you didn't really care about success, that it wasn't important to you.
Yeah, it's not like I'm jealous or I want to be like him or anything, but it's just that I look at his life and all that he's doing and the things he's done and the future ahead of him and everything. Like, he's looking healthier and he's got, you know, he's just done a whole lot.
And you don't think you've done a lot?
Yeah, I've done lots. I'm happy with my life, but just somehow, in comparison, I felt he just, I mean, he didn't do anything to put me down at all. He never would. He's such a nice guy. But I just felt, I should be doing more.
Why do you think you have that need to do more? You feel the need to do more?
Oh, I don't know. Usually I'm happy with everything. Like, okay, I'm in the store today. I'm in the grocery store. And I'm buying a steak because that was part of our conversation. He's on the paleo diet. And he's lost 20 pounds. And right away I think, oh, I got to lose 20 pounds. And I know that anyway. It's not just because of him, but it was a reminder. And maybe I don't like being reminded of it. So I'm in the grocery store, so I figure, okay, I'm going to buy steaks, because you can eat steaks on this diet. And he said, steaks and lots of vegetables. And I went to the vegetable department, and I just felt stupid, like, I don't want to buy that, I don't want to buy that, shit, I don't want to buy that. And I felt like, I don't even know my vegetable. I mean, I know what they're called, and I didn't want to buy any. And just walking through the vegetable department made me depressed. Angry with myself.
Well, why do you suppose that made you so frustrated? Does this happen every time you go through the vegetable department?
Probably. It's just that it's another reminder that I don't cook, I don't know how to cook, I depend on my wife for the cooking. I know that I should be taking an interest. I know that I should be eating better, taking better care of myself. And it's just when I get that feeling that I'm not doing the things that I should do, that's when I get depressed. That's when I get down about everything, and then it just seems overwhelming, and I can't change myself, and then I'm really feeling bad. It's not even just about the vegetables anymore. It's about everything.
So that's just a reminder, maybe, that there are things you want to change about yourself?
Yeah, there are things that I feel I need to change, that I should change, that, I don't know, some days I'm totally happy with who I am and the way I am, and I think it's funny. But maybe that visit just reminded me that other people are successful, maybe more disciplined, as it were. They have control of their lives. I don't feel I take any control of my life.
Well, can you give me an example of how you would like to have control of your life?
Yeah, I'd like to see myself in the kitchen with, just like my cousin was last night. He took over the whole kitchen, and he knew exactly what to do, and he had these amazing lamb, what do you call them? Just, you know, the little rib-type things, and rack of lamb. And he knew exactly what spices he needed to put on. And he knew exactly when to put them in and what temperature, and he had the vegetables, and he just had everything, this fabulous meal, and he was able to give out commands to other people. Okay, you got to do this, you got to help me with this. He was in total control, and I've never done that. I can cook a steak on the barbecue, and I come in, I got a steak, and there's nothing else on the plate, not even a vegetable, nothing.
Okay, and you'd like that to be different. Do you feel it's not possible for you to change?
Yeah, I feel it's not possible because I don't have the willpower. I wouldn't know where to start.
Well, maybe you could, have you thought about starting with something small? Like maybe just learning one new thing, one recipe, and, or maybe how to cook one vegetable that might be fun. There's lots of recipes and things on the internet that it's...
I know that shit. It's, and that's what bugs me. Like, it's so easy, and I just make it seem like such a big deal. That's the frustrating part. I don't have any excuse. I should be able to do this. I shouldn't even be talking to you about it. In fact, I don't want to talk anymore.
Do you feel there was any benefit to coming to talk to me today?
I don't know. Just sometimes, you just get so fucking tired of having to be better than you are.
All right, well, let's put an end to this, and maybe you could come back next week, and we'll take up where we left off. I think you should leave here knowing you've made some progress, that you've at least acknowledged your feelings, and you've looked at a couple of reasons why you might be feeling frustrated and a little bit depressed. You've identified some areas where maybe you could step forward and try something new, so I think you should leave with a sense of positive progress.
Yeah, maybe. All right, thanks. See you next week.
Well, thank you. Take care of yourself, and we'll see you next week.
Oh, God said to Abraham, kill me a son. Abe said, man, you must be putting me on. God said, no. Abe say what? God say you can do what you want, Abe, but next time you see me coming, you better run. Well, Abe said, where you want this killing done? God said, all down Highway 61. Well, Georgia Sam, he had a bloody nose. Welfare department, they wouldn't give him no clothes. He asked poor Howard, where can I go? Howard said, There's only one place I know. Sam said, tell me quick, man, I got to run. Oh, Howard just pointed with his gun and said, that way down Highway 61. Well, Mac the Finger said to Louis the King, I got 40 red, white, blue shoestrings and 1,000 telephones that don't ring. Do you know where I can get rid of these things? And Louis the King said, let me think for a minute, son. Then he said, yes, I think it can be easily done. Just take everything down to Highway 61. Now the fifth daughter on the 12th night told her first father that things weren't right. My complexion, she says, is much too white. He said, come here and step into the light. He says, you're right. Let me tell the second mother this has been done. But the second mother was with the seventh son, and they were both out on Highway 61. Now the roving gambler, he was very bored, trying to create a next world war. He found a promoter who nearly fell off the floor. He said, I never engaged in this kind of thing before, but yes, I think it can be very easily done. We'll just put some bleachers out in the sun and have it on Highway 61.
Is it rolling, Bob? She's rolling. Scarborough Dude in the St. Andrews Cemetery parking lot, because there's shade here under these glorious maples. It's just beautiful. I got the sunroof open, and I'm just looking up at this canopy of green leaves. Oh, I love this season so much. And just to think that I've come here in the winter when it's cold and gray and the trees are bare branches. And now this full, rich, young growth. Absolutely beautiful. Oh, lucky to live in Canada. This part of Canada, especially. Anyway, I'm still struggling with this episode of Dixon Jeans. I've got that clip that... Right now, like, what I do is when I record a clip... You know, I add them to a folder on my, Dixon Jane's folder on my hard drive, and sometimes I will open GarageBand and start putting them in place and finding a song that fits. Sometimes I do it all at once, you know, wait till I've done all the recordings and then just bam, throw it together, pick three songs, two songs, and that's it. But this time I call it cobbling it together, you know. Like you think of just hammering a little piece here and there, a plank to fill in this spot, and it's not quite like that. But anyway, I've got this 18, 17-minute rant that I've told you about that I don't want to use. And today I tried again. I edited it. I tried to take out all the bad words and the religion-specific words and substitute a sound for them, thinking, oh, it'll be funny. And I'm thinking it's not funny, and towards the end I just gave up. I was going to take out all the fucks, you know, and my God, that would take me forever. So I still don't know whether you will hear that on this podcast or not. I guess I'm making it a bigger issue than it really is. I suppose I'm a little self-conscious. I don't want to be seen as an ignorant bigot. I don't want to be seen as gosh, I don't know, just being narrow-minded, or even worse, being a victim of the politics today. By the way, I saw three movies in the past couple of weeks. Gatsby, which I did not enjoy very much. Star Trek, which was pretty good. And Iron Man 3, which I thought was excellent. Best I've seen in a long time. Really enjoyed it. Now, what do you call it? Full disclosure here. Because Iron Man is the only one I had a little toot for before going into the theater. And I think I was just picking it up on so many levels of what's the message? What are the directors? What's Hollywood also telling us here? And I was processing it on two or three levels at the same time. And, of course, having fun doing that, it was great. But I guess maybe I'm thinking about conspiracy theories and the way media shapes us to think in a certain way, especially the post 9/11 world. Who is the new enemy? And they did a nice job, sort of, I think, dealing with that theme. But I think I've fallen victim to it. And every time I read a story about, you know, Christian churches being burned in Nigeria by the Boko Haram, I flip out. I go crazy. I mean, partly because I lived in Nigeria and I saw that people were, up to a point, able to live together in peace. You know, different people, different languages, different religions, sharing the same market. And I think that's becoming increasingly difficult to do all over the world. And that is a real tragedy. It's just that I'm trying to talk now in a reasonable voice and not a voice that's just pure adrenaline and emotion. And I don't get submission. I don't get blind obedience. I don't get taking the words of anybody literally. I don't get believing in any kind of a god that demands rituals. Like it's not just that I don't get it, but I have no respect for the people who have only reached that point where, yeah, this is what you're told to believe, so you believe it, and anybody else is a blasphemer, is you know, the enemy. Like that, I will never ever get. And I think that kind of thinking should be stood up to. The fact that what's his name, Salman Rushdie, there's still a fatwa out on him, and this kind of thing that people are being killed for making statements that deemed offensive by others. Like, this is just wrong. And I know what bothers me is people will argue the flip side and say, oh yeah, well, look what America did in Iraq. And one doesn't justify or cancel out the other. That's also wrong. It's not that I'm only seeing one enemy. If you've listened to this podcast at all, you know how distressed I was at America's bombing of Iraq and destroying that country and letting loose these forces that are just horrific. I'm deeply disturbed by what's happening in Syria. But enough, enough, enough. I struggle with these things because part of me is, maybe it always has been, or maybe it's just the times I've grown up in. I've been influenced by politics. When you think of, the Kennedy assassination, the Robert Kennedy assassination, Martin Luther King assassination, all these things in America, home of the free and the brave. They're a part of you. And as I explained in class the other day, growing up in the shadow of World War II, I watched two amazing documentaries on Hirohito and Hitler the other day of you know, their wartime business and what happens to anybody who would dare to stand up and talk against them or speak in another voice and question. And I think that's what we really, really need to be afraid of. And it's not just religious zealots. It's the drug trade. It's the people who will shoot down any chief of police or military or politician who comes down against, say, a drug cartel in Mexico or Colombia. Bam, they are marked. Their children are marked. They have no choice but to cave in. And I would just hate to ever, ever think of that happening in Canada. And yet I'm sure the rot has already set in. If you look at what's happened in Montreal and the the construction industry and the payoffs and the rot is in here, and it scares you, because when you're just an average person, you want to believe it's fair to follow the rules. You get gouged on your insurance because somebody cheats and you pay the price, but you sort of say, well, there's nothing much I can do about it. But you're sort of hoping that average good Joe citizens, am I saying this? Yes, I am, will win in the end. And it's like sort of coming to the Wild West when you look at the old cowboy movies and wanting to tame them, bring in a new sheriff who stands up for law and order and isn't afraid of this gang or that gang and puts an end to the outlaws. I want that kind of world. I don't want it at the price that everybody's suspicious or guilty, or there's cameras spying on everybody at all times. I just want a world where people are good and do the right thing, as naive as that might sound. So let me lead from there to On Becoming a Person Again, my Carl Rogers Bible, the book that I feel is almost holy. He's talking about personal thoughts on teaching and learning, and it's in a chapter where he's sort of giving up. He doesn't think he can actually teach anything anymore. He's resigning himself to the fact that what can you teach people? A couple of the things I've highlighted these 30, 40 years ago. I have come to feel that the only learning which significantly influences behavior is self-discovered, self-appropriated learning. In other words, you do it for yourself, right? Somebody can't give you answers and share knowledge and teach you how to do things, of course. But if it's in terms of your own growth, your own self-discovery, your knowing thyself, it's you who has to do it. Next point. Such self-discovered learning, truth that has been personally appropriated and assimilated in experience, cannot be directly communicated to another. That sounds almost like acid talk. The stuff you learn that you really do absorb and understand and get to know, you can't share that. I don't know if those are really all that important. Maybe you didn't get anything out of that. Another implication for the teacher is that significant learning may take place if the teacher can accept the student as he is and can understand the feelings he possesses. I guess that would refer to clients as well. Don't try and change everybody. Of course, I'm looking at this from the point of view of wanting to one day be a counselor. I had stayed up with my wife last night and had a bit of a discussion on our financial future. It's kind of scary. She doesn't want to work forever. She works with seniors. She knows what the end looks like. And it's kind of scary for her, and has vowed she's not going to babysit me. I am 14 years older than her. And so I'm certainly going to reach the end of my tether sooner than her. But I understand, nobody wants to be dependent. That's why I've got this feeling, this nagging feeling, I've got to start looking after my health. Here we go again, it's all about me, isn't it? But I guess that's what you get on the Dixon James podcast, so no more apologizing. But the reality is, I've got friends who work for the government for 20, 30, 40 years and walk away with a very comfortable pension, or teachers or others, and I'm not taking that away from them. These people don't have to worry. They'll never have to worry. And that makes a huge difference. And myself, who basically have worked for myself for the past 20 years, and up until then basically went from here to there, 100 different jobs, none of which would ever give me any kind of a pension. And that's as it is. No problem there, really. Except for the fact that, the little money I've been able to put aside in RRSPs is really not going to do us much good. We'll have a roof over our heads. I'll never end up paying off my mortgage. Don't have to share all this personal stuff with you, but I am just to say that it does impact one's outlook on life and thoughts for the future. And here's me thinking, okay, those ads that they're running on TV, the last 10 years of your life, most Canadians end up sick and, you know, debilitated, basically. And it's a horrible ad, and both my wife and I find it very, very effective. It's excellent advertising. Hey, you got a choice. You know, you can be in a hospital bed with a mask and needles sticking up your arms. Or you can be out jogging, you know. You can be doing stuff. And the choice, really, they're saying, you know, the choice is yours. And I'm really trying to absorb that message and make some changes. And this gets me back to what I was talking about earlier on that counseling stuff about the difficulty of making a change, of taking the steps. And it becomes so overwhelming, so difficult to accept the idea, I have to make a change, that you just shut down. And that's a common feature in counseling. I was just reading a passage about that today as I finished off my textbook, that you begin to feel helpless. Like, I can't make that change, whatever that change is. So I'm going to continue to explore this a little longer. I'm sorry if this is not up your alley. Meanwhile, back in Toronto, on another level altogether, our mayor denies the existence of this video of him smoking crack cocaine, and this story is getting very, very fishy. And as you know, in the past, I've not exactly defended the mayor, but said, hey, he won fairly and squarely in a vote, and until he has done something that, you know, merits his being kicked out of office, and I don't mean very small things like using the wrong letterhead on funding sources, you know. But I'm having a harder and harder time each day coming to his rescue, and especially over this issue of him just dodging questions altogether. So yeah, all right, I withdraw any support I've had for the man. There is probably no doubt at all that he did smoke crack cocaine, has hung out with bad people. He should have come clean long ago, and Toronto deserves better. The citizens of Toronto deserve better, and I'm embarrassed to say it's people in Scarborough who are cheering him on and saying he's the best, and that's simply because he's not raising taxes. This is looking very, very bad and reflecting badly on the city as a whole. So, Mayor Ford, I think it's time to step down, come clean, go in for rehab or whatever it is, you know, and say, all right, I'm really going to make a change. And here we are. It's interesting because maybe he is trying to make a change. If you remember the weigh-ins between him and his brother when he'd go on camera and saying he was going to lose weight, and that's what I have to do, and he had the courage, I think I can call it courage, to do this on camera in front of people, and eventually just bowed out. It wasn't working. He's not going to lose that much weight. And he quit. But maybe that's just one more indication that he's aware that he does have to initiate some changes in his life, as do I, as perhaps do all of us. All right, enough pontificating here on the Dixon James Podcast. I'll go back to finishing off that podcast I'm not supposed to mention anymore that Picard 102 is associated with. Basically, his last episode was nice because it was just Keith and the fat guy Joel, is it? So, there you go. Talk to you in a little bit. And, oh, by the way, yeah, if this podcast goes on towards the end and you start hearing things you don't like, just stop listening, okay? That's all. Stop listening and come back next week. Thanks. Bye for now.
Kind of like that, don't you? But it will be faded into the background now, if you don't mind. That's on CBC Radio 2. Scarborough Dude here, and welcome to Dixon James 403. I did record a segment earlier today after listening to the Bitch Cakes, and it wasn't very good. Now, I'm not talking about the Bitch Cakes, I'm talking about my own audio clip. And so I scrapped it. I'm going to do that more often. Well, if I have to. Oh my God, I'm heading in the wrong direction. Now I might have to end up scrapping this. And then, fuck, There's going to be no end to it. So let's just march on, shall we? Thank you. I am just back from a downtown from fucking Lou Dogs. God damn, I only went there because I knew where it was, right near Ryerson. They got pulled pork. Shane was hungry, okay? Shane needed to eat. He won't come all the way out to fucking, best bar ever. You know, the only cafe. Too far. Even Shane was visiting. You know Shane, formerly of Shane and Tom's Squeeze Box. Assholes. They don't do it anymore. Yeah, they don't have the time. Anyway, Shane was in town on business, air quotes. And I said, all right. You're late last night. You can squeeze me in for a visit. I'll come to. How about Lou Dogs? I really wanted to go to the Imperial Pub. It was closer and they have better beer. But no, I gave in. But I'm telling you, seriously, apparently they do have very good pulled pork sandwiches, and that's fine. But the beer selection fucking sucked. They had a couple of their own pints, but none of the microbreweries. And I don't know how you can run a bar in Toronto, especially in a student area, and not have any decent beer. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, I am just back from there. I looked at my watch. I saw it was 5 to 12. This is on Church and Girard. There's an 11:13 train from Union. And I figured, holy fuck. It would be so much nicer grabbing a GO train to get where I am now, the GO train parking lot, and not have to do the subway, transfer, bus. Just hop on a GO train. Holy fuck, that'd be a nice way to get home. So I start walking, and I see a couple of women who work the streets, and I said, Young's this way? No, Young's that way. Holy fuck, thank God I asked, because I was heading in the wrong direction, marching off full speed. Sorry, am I making this story too long? Apologies. I get on to the subway. I march down, get to Young, march up to fucking Dundas. Grab it, get into Union Station, and holy fuck, there's a line like 20 people long, and it's like 11:11. Train's pulling out in 2 minutes. Now, the train's always on track 5. I look at the line, but okay, fuck, sorry, I don't have time to buy a ticket. If I buy a ticket, I gotta wait a full hour because I'm missing that train. Fuck that. I'm just getting on the train, you know. It's always track 5. Okay, boom, up these stairs, hippity-hop, and up you go, and on you're on, you know? You're on. When you're on. And instead... No, I didn't toke up. Sorry. That would excuse my apparently drunken rambling now, but I'm not drunk. Just having trouble getting the words out, okay? It's track 4. Holy fuck, where's track 4? Track 4, you gotta take an elevator, march through the whole fucking Via Rail station, up some other fucking corridor, and up these stairs, and there it is, completely different place. I get on, and ding dong, they're ready to close the doors. Oh, fuck, my heart's beating, I'm sweating, at least I'm on the goddamn train, ticket or no ticket, and it's no ticket. So I figure my plan is... Because they come around, they send inspectors on these trains and ask everybody to show proof of payment. And they can fine you, write you up, you know, and I'm not going to lie, I'm going to give my real name. They can give you a hard time. So I figure, okay, preemptive, as soon as you see the guy in uniform, just tell me, hey, whoa, sorry, listen, I ran for the train, I'm sorry, I didn't have time to buy a ticket, can I buy one now? First guy I see comes by, he's got a fucking baton and a holster, and he's probably fucking got a ray gun and who knows what else he's got. Flamethrower, maybe. Young guy, hat, you know, Nazi uniform. Said he goes past, I say, whoa, excuse me. Oh, I didn't have time to buy a ticket. Can I get one from you? I realize then, that's not a fucking conductor. That's a fucking security guy. He says, no, you have to get off at the next station and buy one. And people around me are sort of looking like, what kind of an asshole calls out and self-identifies, I don't have a ticket, sir, what can I do? Asshole. He marches off, and I'm thinking, well, are you serious? There's an hour between trains. You really expect a 65-year-old man or anybody in their right mind to get off the train to buy a ticket and then sit in the middle of fucking, you know, nowhere and wait 1 hour for the next train? I don't think so. Now, fortunately, he never came back, and I thought about it and realized, well, maybe he gave the answer in case it was a test. He gave the answer he was supposed to give, but he was not going to follow up on this. But I did imagine the scenarios of him trying to wrestle me off the train and what a scene I would make. And you got no future, go train service buddy, you know, throwing an old man off. I could have a heart attack, you asshole. Let me go. It didn't come to that. And then when I got to Eglinton GO Station, my stop, and I noticed that the train station was still open and there was a man there, I realized I could go in now and pay for my ticket. And by this point, I thought, fuck that! I'm not paying after my imaginary fight with the security force. So, yes, I'm guilty. I didn't pay. I saved $5. Good. I also got pain de chez for all my beer. God, I can't possibly be drunk. I only had 3 pints, and they weren't even fucking pints. They were small glasses. They were only $5, but still. Oh, really, what a shitty place it was. Anyway, I didn't want to talk about any of that crap. Did that take us fucking 9 minutes to tell you a story that I could have done in 30 seconds? I'm sorry. Maybe this will be abandoned, too. So, if it is, I'm going to start fresh now. Okay, either I leave that in as a prelude and burn fucking 10 minutes of this 60-minute podcast. Oh. Excuse me. But I do think a few of you actually like me talking from the GO station, because as I was reading in my textbook tonight, people have to accept the fact that we have polarities and can hold contradictory positions and views of ourselves. And on the one hand, I want so much for people to respect me and think highly of me and be, I got my shit together, and I'm a character who's really done a good job with life, and somebody you'd listen to, and so on. And on the other hand, I'm not afraid to show I'm just a complete dork sometimes, as I am being now. Okay? So, we got that out of the way. Take four. What's take four about? Take four is the man who was hacked to death on the streets of London, leaving behind a 2-year-old son, who will one day know that his father died in the most barbaric way, hacked to death by two with cleavers and knives and machetes to punish England for sending its soldiers to you. I am so, so angry. And I know it's maybe not good, but maybe it is good to vent some anger. There's no humor here. There's no joke. There's no way of making this anything other than the horror story it is. And I can feel the surge building up of you. Stupid! You call that a religion? And you let assholes go around and saying in the name of our and our religion and our we had to kill one because you're killing ours. You. I thought about them. I looked at them. They showed themselves on video clips. They were proud of what they had done with the blood all over their hands, and they're proud of what they had done. They wanted to show everybody these radicalized because, oh, the good
don't do that. Of course we know that. These guys wanted to show everybody, look, and there's going to be more of this kind of thing happening. And I'm looking at them and thinking, well, who the fuck are you? Grown up in England, what have you contributed to making the world a better place? What have you contributed to mankind? What kind of work, what kind of jobs have you done? How have you made the world a better place? And here's one man, by all accounts, a good father, a soldier in the drum corps, has gone off, served a tour of duty, has come back. And is it because he's white and they're black? Maybe. Maybe that's really what's at the core of this for me. Because when I saw the faces of the assholes who killed him, I hated them. I hated them. I hated them. And I felt bad for this man and his wife and his mother who were crying. Because for no good reason at all, this man was cut down with fucking knives, hit by a car and cut down and butchered to death on the streets of England. In this country where these don't deserve to live. I guess this isn't pleasant to listen to, and I'm sorry, but it's spit all over my microphone. I'm just so upset by this. And you may say, well, that's because you're just... No, you're not going to say that. The Dixon Jane's listeners aren't going to accuse me of anything. I'm sorry. Some people will, if they listened. So, well, you got to see the other side. Fuck you, there is no other side. There is no other side. You don't butcher an innocent man and say this is in the name of defending your country, your people, your religion. I wish they could just take these fucking people and fucking throw them into the sea, throw them out of the country. You don't fucking deserve to live in England, buddy. And there are people in Canada who would want to do these things. You don't deserve to live among civilized people. I have to stop. I have to stop. I have to stop. This isn't theater. This is just something that's been building up a little bit. And I guess maybe I'll stop there because what else can I say? Where can we go from here? I want anybody else who professes to be a moderate, a good, a loving, kind of to take control of your in your schools and say, we will not have this. We will not have. Don't just give the whitewash, well, this is not our religion. These people are, you know, our religion doesn't do that. Well, sorry, somebody's got to take account. Somebody's got to take responsibility. Somebody has to get hold of these hardliners and identify them and get them out of the fucking country and get them. Send them fucking back to the bush. Send them everywhere, the desert, wherever they fucking belong. But you can't. And believe me, I may seem like, oh my God, you're going over the top. One death, one guy's killed. No. Look what's happening in fucking Europe. There is a crazy core of people who want of Europe. Oh my God. Scarborough dude's finally a crackpot. He's saying things that don't make any sense. No. Look around. Look what's happening. I don't want this to be a fanatical podcast. I don't want to go in the direction of, oh my God, suddenly I'm going to have followers who are white supremacists. I don't want to go there. But I'm saying there are people who want, who think, who believe in their stupidity and their ignorance that this is the best religion and this is our duty to make the world this way. And yes, we need... Yes, we must punish anybody who desecrates, who goes against our religion. And we must be these stupid, pig-headed people with these ignorant, stupid, primitive, backwards, thousand-year-old beliefs. Oh, fuck, let it go, let it go, let it go, but I can't.
Maybe I just read the wrong stories, follow the wrong people. But look what's happening. Look around you. Maybe this sounds like, oh, it's another communist scare. Yeah, there's always the bad guys, but really, it's not really a problem, not here. I'm not so sure. It brings out the worst in me, maybe because it's the conformity. Maybe it's the business of submission. Anybody who believes you have to submit to some overruling force is a stupid... Sorry, but that's the way I see it. If you can say things the way you want to say things, I can say things the way I want to say things. Bowing down 5 times a day, you know, facing... What? That's going to make the world a better place? Oh, it's just playing for the sake of submission, because we need to submit. Submit to what? To who? Oh, fuck. Fuck. I'm sick of this. Bye.